wanted to recap briefly and continue a shiur which we had 2 days ago, the second day of Yom Tov. The concept which we had spoken about at that time was the notion proposed by a sefer known as the Torah Or, not to be confused with the sefer of the Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe, but a different sefer Torah Or. And there are many, many svarim and only so many names that are out there. So this sefer Torah Or suggests that the mitzvos of Dalid Minim and Sukkah were not applicable in the Midbar when the Jews were wandering the desert for 40 years. They only became applicable once the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. And he roots that in the parsha which we read on both days of Sukkot, from Parshas Emor, where it goes to the parsha of the Moadim. There the Torah spells out all of the different Yom Tovim that we keep during the year. It introduces the Yom Tov of Sukkot. It says there is a Yom Tov called Sukkot. On the 15th day of Tishrei, there's a 7-day holiday called Sukkot. Basically, you bring karbanos, and then the Torah summarizes by saying, "These are the Yom Tovim. These are the Yom Tovim. You didn't tell me anything about Sukkot. You just told me there's such a thing called Sukkot." And then afterwards, almost like an afterthought, the Torah says, "However, you should know." On the 15th day of Tishrei, when you gather in the produce of the land, so then then you should take the Dalid Minim. And then you should sit in Sukkot for 7 days. So why does the Torah present this as an afterthought, as it were? So says the Torah, because it wasn't really applicable for that generation that was first hearing these words from Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's hinted out of the psukim themselves. When the psukim say that you should celebrate Sukkot by taking lulav and sitting in a sukkah, it uses the phrase, ba'aspechem esfuas ha'aretz, when you gather in the produce of the land, which, says the Torah Or, is another way of saying, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, so then Sukkah and Lulav are going to be applicable. Why would that be true, that Sukkah and Lulav are only applicable when you come into Eretz Yisrael? So again, to briefly summarize, each one has a different reason. Sukkah is supposed to be a remembrance of the Anane HaKavod. But why do you need a remembrance of the Anane HaKavod when you have the Anane HaKavod? You have the real deal. You know, what do I need to remember it for when I have the actual thing? And when it comes to lulav, so the Tzitz Eliezer, who quotes this Torah Or and approves of it, the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer of Aldenburg, suggests that if you look both at the Rambam and the Zmar Nevuchim, as well as many other Mephoshim, they indicate that the reason behind taking Dalid Minim is to celebrate our exodus from the Midbar, from the desert, where there was limited vegetation, into Eretz Yisrael, which was an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, which was a land that was lush with fruits and vegetables and the like. So in other words, that the whole reason behind Dalid Minim only really makes sense once we come into Eretz Yisrael. So those are two reasons which one can suggest. In any case, the Torah always suggests that historically, those mitzvahs, although they were given at Har Sinai, the mitzvahs of Dalid Minim and Sukkah only became applicable when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. When we spoke 2 days ago, we suggested that this has not only historical implications, but conceptual implications. We quoted the Soloveitchik Zatzal, who said what on the surface seems to be a bizarre statement. Rav Soloveitchik said that the mitzvahs of Sukkah and Dalid Minim are not part of the fundamental Kedushas Hayom of Sukkot. They're not part of the fundamental fabric of the sanctity of the day of Sukkot. And as such, practically speaking, said Rav Soloveitchik, the dinim of Yom Tov Sheni were never enacted with regard to Sukkah and Lulav. So you say, well, what do you mean? I was just Yom Tov Sheni a few days ago, and I sat in a sukkah and I shook a lulav. Yeah, but you would have done that even if the second day of Sukkot was a week. There was a Chol HaMoed, meaning, in other words, Sukkot is 7 days long. And since the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as the Mishnah says, so we take lulav also for the duration of 7 days. So you know the notion of, you know, taking Dalid Minim on the second day Yom Tov we're sitting the sukkah on the second day Yom Tov. It's not a function of the fact that it's Yom Tov Sheni. It's just a function of the fact that it's the second day of the 7 day Yom Tov of sukkahs, and that's why we're sitting in the sukkah and benching luluf. Yeah.
So according to this, you would be allowed to use someone else's luluf and on the second day.
Oh, so very good. So what is the nafkamina? So this, but first of all, you know, is there an insistence on all of the dinim of dalid minim on the first day that we know are somewhat higher than the dinim of when it comes to chol hamoed? So the different shittas in terms of that, but there are many shittas who hold that things like owning the lulav, right, which we insist on for the first day, but not during chol hamoed, dinim like chaser, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that the etzer can have a chunk taken out of it. The Gemara mentions one of the Amoraim who, after the first day of Sukkot, would, you know, take a bite out of his esrog, you know, which is, he couldn't hold himself back. So the esrog was no longer complete, right? A lot of certain dinim with the pitum and things like that. We're not as makpid when it comes to chol hamoed as we are with regard to Yom Tov Rishon. So the many achronim will hold that the same way we're not makpid with chol hamoed, we're not makpid with Yom Tov Sheni either. And on Yom Tov Sheni, you don't have to be the owner of the lulav and esrog the same way that you have to be on Yom Tov Rishon. Why should that be? Right, so according to Rav Soloveitchik's approach, it makes perfect sense. In other words, the dinim of Yom Tov Sheni apply to things that are relevant to the Kedushas Hayom. But Rav Soloveitchik gives the mashal, the same way that we don't count Svira twice, notwithstanding the fact, you know, during Chol HaMoed Pesach, or on Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach, we don't count Svira twice. Right. In other words, it's not really relevant Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach. But in other words, let's say Yom Tov Sheni of the second day, Pesach. You know, Achron Shel Pesach. We don't count Sfira twice. Al Hatzad, that maybe we're off in terms of the counting. Why? Because Sfira Sa'omer, although it takes place over Pesach, it's not part of the Kedusha Sayom of Pesach. It's a mitzvah which we happen to perform over the course of Pesach.
I don't understand, but according to that line,
right.
So what would be is any mitzvah of the Yom Tov is in the core part of the Yom Tov. Matzah, you can have Pesach without matzah. You can have Pesach without the Korban Pesach. It's still going to have the Kedusha Tayyum with Pesach.
Right.
So according to that Mahala, it's fine, but that means he's saying that any other mitzvahs which are totally connected to it are not considered.
Right, so Rav Soloveitchik would have said the following, which again is not intuitive, but until we plug it back to what we started off with tonight, I think it becomes a little bit more understandable. Matzah is part of the Kedusha Sayom of Pesach, but Sukkah and Lulav are not part of the Kedusha Sayom of Sukkot. So in other words, that's why the Takan of Yom Tov Sheni for Pesach requires us to eat a Kazayis Matzah a second time and have a second Seder. And as we don't say, oh, well, the first Seder, you know, that's separate mitzvahs. No, part of the Kedushas Hayom of Pesach is the mitzvah of Matzah, but the mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of Dalet Minim are not part of the Kedushas Hayom of Sukkah. So even to say that sounds bizarre, because what's the basis for being Mechalik, for distinguishing in that way? So that's what we wanted to say, that Rav Soloveitchik's Vort in Lomdus ties in nicely to the Torah Or's Vort in history. In other words, if it's true that there was that for the first 40 years that Klal Yisrael kept the Yom Tov of Sukkot, they did so without Sukkah, and they did so without Dalet Minim, so it's easier to conceive of the Yom Tov of Sukkot lacking those things, because for the first 40 years that Klal Yisrael kept that mitzvah, it indeed was lacking those things.
But the first 40 years, save for the first two, they also didn't have a problem with Pesach.
Right, but they were mechuyev in Korban Pesach, fundamentally. In other words, there were external issues that...
The only reason you could say that is they didn't have a bris mila. Coming the second year, all the people who were mechuyev in it still had a bris mila.
Right.
You can't use that reason to say... if you want to say the 40th year, the 20th year of Rov'am, but it was more of, we weren't mitzvah. If we were mitzvah, because the second time, that's a tradition saying, the second Pesach, we're mitzvah in Mitzrayim, in the Midbar, if we wouldn't have had that Tzivui.
Right. So the truth is, Korban Pesach, maybe you could say, you know, is in the same category as Sukkah Lulav. That's possible. In other words, you know, you could look at it one way, you could look at... Remember, Korban Pesach is not really a function of the Kedushas HaYom Tov. right? Because the Shechitas Karban Pesach takes place Erev Yom Tov, right? So in other words, the Achilas Karban Pesach, right? But as Achilas Karban Pesach, as the whole process of Karban Pesach is one that starts before the Kedushas Yom Tov comes in. Matzah.
You have Yom Tov Sheni.
What's that?
You have Yom Tov
Sheni
for Kabbalah.
We have a Yom Tov Sheni for Kabbalah. So it works out. Achilas Pesach. I mean, again, I don't know how it would come out. It's sort of a theory, right? Matzah is the function of the Kedushas Hayom. Because Matzah, in that way, you know, the way the Rav is suggesting, is different than Sukkah and Lulav. Al Kaponim. So that's what we spoke about the other night. Again, trying to tie in the Lomdus of the Rav with the history suggested by the Torah. Or there's a third part to the shiur which I didn't get to the other night. That's what I really want to present tonight, and that's how I think this idea from the Torah, or i.e. that the mitzvahs of Dalid Minim and Sukkah were given to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, but they were given to be observed once Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. That perhaps can help us understand a very perplexing set of psukim in Nehemiah. Okay, so first of all, there's a book called Nehemiah, right? It's in the back of the Tanakh. So in Nehemiah Perek Ches, it's describing how the Jews have come back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and on Rosh Hashanah, Ezra and Nehemiah, the leaders of the Jewish people, gather the Jewish people. They read to them from the Sefer Torah about all of the things that Klal Yisrael are not doing and need to do better. The people break out in tears. They start crying, and Ezra and Nehemiah reassure the people. They say, look, today's Rosh Hashanah, don't be sad. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu, today is a happy day, it's a joyous day, you should go, you should feast, you should rejoice. And you know, Ezra and Nehemiah calm the people down. Fine, so after that incident, we read the following. This is Nehemiah Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud-Dalet. Vayimsu kosuf batorah. I'm sorry. Uvayom Hashemi and Pasuk Yud Gimel. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Netzvu Rosh Ha'avos L'chol Ha'am HaKohanim Va'alavim Elezra HaSofer LaHaskel Divrei HaTorah. Everybody, all of the leaders of the people, came to Ezra HaSofer to explore LaHaskel Divrei HaTorah, to become wise with the words of the Torah. Vayimsu Kosuf BaTorah. They found a pasuk in Chumash while they were learning. They found the pasuk in Chumash, lo and behold, that says that Klal Yisrael is supposed to sit in Sukkot on the holiday, which takes place in Tishrei. So once they found that pasuk, they sent out the word through Yerushalayim and through all of their cities, saying, Sahu Hahar, go out to the mountain. Behavio ale zayis v'ale eish shemen, bring leaves from olive trees. V'ale hadas v'ale tmarim, bring hadasim, bring leaves of palm trees. In other words, lulavim. V'ale eitz avos, bring also hadasim. Eitz avos is the Torah term for hadasim. Lasos sukos kakosu, go bring all of these branches in order to make sukkahs. So the people went out, they brought these various items, and they made sukkahs throughout Yerushalayim. So the entire congregation who were returning from the captivity in Babel made sukkahs, and they sat in the sukkahs. Kilo asu mimegi Yeshua bin Nun came b'nei Yisrael ad hayom hahu, because Klal Yisrael had not done such since the days of Yeshua bin Nun up until that day. And there was a tremendous joy. Every day thereafter, they read from the Torah min hayom arishon ad hayom haachron, from the first day of Sukkot to the last day of Sukkot. Vayasu chog shivas yomim, they made the holiday of Sukkot for 7 days. Uvayom hashmini atzeres, and they made the eighth day into shmini atzeres kamishpat, just as one is supposed to do. This is a very perplexing passage, because the passage seems to imply that Klal Yisrael at that time were unfamiliar with the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah on Sukkot. Right? It implies it in two places. First of all, they're reading through the Chumash, Vayimsu Kasuv, and they found a pasuk that says that you're supposed to sit in a sukkah on Sukkot. You found the pasuk. I mean, you know, sometimes people quote obscure sources. You know, I found it was this unusual achron. You never heard it. I found the pasuk. It says you're supposed to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs. And what? How's your shnayim mikra been going? Right? I mean, like you found the pasuk, like chadash mikarav bo. Something just fell from the sky. You know, you found the pasuk. And then later on, after they built the sukkahs, the pasuk that says, "Kilo asu b'mei Yeshua bin Nun came b'nei Yisrael arayom hazeh," Klal Yisrael had not done such since the days of Yehoshua bin Nun up until this day. It sounds a little bit like the pasuk is saying that basically from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun until the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, there was this major gap of hundreds of years during which Klal Yisrael were not building sukkahs. And this is like a revelation all of a sudden that they find a pasuk. Oh gee, we must have skipped that one, you know, Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamim, that you're actually supposed to build sukkahs. How do you make head or tails out of what's going on over here? So this was a question that was already raised to some extent in the Gemara. The Gemara in Erechin asked the question. The Gemara asks, you know, what, you're telling me, the way the Gemara phrases it, you're telling me David HaMelech didn't make a sukkah? I mean, that's what it sounds like from the pasuk, from the days of Yeshua ben Nun to Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't make sukkahs, right? So the Gemara gives a totally different explanation as to what's going on over here. And the Gemara says that what the pasuk is coming to tell us is that just as when Yeshua ben Nun came into Eretz Yisrael, he invested Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, so too, what we call the Kedusha Rishona, so too, when Ezra and Nehemiah came to Eretz Yisrael, they also invested Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, what we call the Kedusha Shnia, the second round of sanctity invested in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so, Alpi Drash, that is certainly a way of explaining the Pasuk, and clearly the Gemara is bothered by that. But on the level of Pashut Pshat, you know, that doesn't seem to be what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk isn't talking about kedusha rishona, kedusha shniya. The pasuk is talking about, you know, whether they made sukkahs or not. So, a little bit later on in history, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in his Kuzari raises the question of how to understand these pasukim, and the context over there is the following. We know that the Kuzari is a conversation between a king of the Khazars who converts to Judaism and a Chacham who's first telling him why Judaism makes sense, and then ultimately after he converts 20% of the way into the Sefer. So, you know, the last 80% of the Sefer, the Chacham is trying to explain to him, you know, he's teaching him, now that he's Jewish, he's teaching him all these things about Yiddishkeit. So the king of the Khazars is curious to know, was the Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu ever broken? Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, and as Pirkei Avos says, Mesorah Yeshua, Yeshua Liskanim, Zekanim Lenevim, right? It was passed down from generation to generation. Was the Mesorah ever broken? So, obviously the answer is no, right? The Mesorah was an unbroken tradition from generation to generation. What about these Psukim in Ezra? These Psukim in Ezra Nehemiah seem to imply that many, many years went by during which Klal Yisrael were unaware of the din of sitting in a sukkah on sukkahs. And how could that possibly be? How does that square with the notion that the Mesorah is unbroken? So comes the Kuzari, and this really sets the stage for all of the subsequent Mefarshim. The Kuzari says, Chas v'shalom, you can't read the pasuk that from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun till Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't sit in sukkahs at all. You have to read it as follows. Kilo asu mimei Yeshua bin Nun came b'nei Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. Klal Yisrael had not built sukkahs came in such a fashion, in such an extravagant fashion, since the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. Right, the days of Yehoshua bin Nun, they really went all out in building the sukkahs, you know, in other words, they were deluxe sukkahs. Then afterwards, you know, they kept the mitzvah, but, you know, without all of the trimmings. But now, you know, when Klal Yisrael came back under Ezra Nehemiah, they invested themselves with gusto into the mitzvah of Sukkah in a way that had not been seen since the days of Yoshua ben Nun. Okay, so that's all the subsequent Mepharshim all work off of that Kuzari in some way or another. Chas v'shalom, you know, David sat in the Sukkah, Shlomo sat in the Sukkah, of course everybody sat in the Sukkah, but there was something particularly, you know, extravagant about the way that Klal Yisrael under Ezra Nehemiah performed the mitzvah of Yeshiva Vasukkah, one which had not been in place since the days of Yoshua ben Nun. So now I think, with granted that Kuzari, but you still have to ask the follow-up question. Why? Why did Klal Yisrael at that particular point in time perform the mitzvah of Yeshiva Vasukkah with such extravagance that had not been seen from the days of Yoshua ben Nun? So perhaps based on the Torah Or, we can explain as follows. If Sukkah and Lulav, and we'll come back to Lulav in just a moment, if Sukkah and Lulav first came into practice when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua, again, that's the Torah Or's contention, right? That they didn't keep it in the Midbar. And to Lulav to a greater extent, but Sukkah as well, are celebrations of the Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael, of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Again, Lulav we quoted from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, that Lulav represents our thankfulness that we left the plantless desert and we came into Eretz Yisrael, that affords us an Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, you know, has flowing with milk and honey, and has so many things. Sukkah as well is our statement that as we come into Eretz Yisrael, that even though we no longer have the Anani HaKavod that were with us in the Midbar, nonetheless, we feel confident that Hashem is going to protect us in Eretz Yisrael, just as He did in the Midbar. So there's a unique linkage between the mitzvahs of Sukkah, the mitzvahs of Sukkahs, Sukkah and Dalet Minim, and coming into Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps the Jews reasoned as follows. We're experiencing part of the term, we're experiencing a second coming, a second time that we're coming into Eretz Yisrael. We came in under Yehoshua, and you know, when Yehoshua ben Nun came in, the enthusiasm that Klal Yisrael had for entering Eretz Yisrael caused them to embrace these mitzvahs of Sukkah and Dalet Minim with gusto, because they represented the new entry into Eretz Yisrael. We've also just come back from Golus. We also are reestablishing Eretz Yisrael. So as such, it makes sense for us to celebrate Davka, these mitzvahs, with tremendous, tremendous gusto. To do it in a way in which it hadn't been done on that level since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's perhaps to understand, you know, why they embraced these mitzvahs with such gusto. It goes back to the idea of the Torah Or. It could be that if you read the pasuk carefully in Nehemiah, maybe the pasuk is hinting at this as well. Because the pasuk says, Nehemiah Ches Yudzayin, Vayasu kol hakohol hashovim min hashvi sukkas, vayeshvu basukkas. The entire congregation who were returning from the captivity made sukkahs and they sat in the sukkahs. Why do you have to introduce all of a sudden the phrase Hashavim min Hashvi, that this was the group of people who were returning from captivity? We know the story. I mean, you've been reading Ezra and Nehemiah up until now. We understand these are people coming back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Why is it relevant all of a sudden? You're almost at the end of the book of Nehemiah, and all of a sudden these are the people Hashavim min Hashvi. Why is it important to emphasize that at this point? So perhaps the answer is according to the Torah Or, because they saw these mitzvahs of Sukkah and Dalet Minim as particularly appropriate when returning from Bavel, from Galus, into Eretz Yisrael and embracing these mitzvahs once again. If that's correct, so maybe we can go a little bit further and suggest as follows. What does it mean in the beginning of this passage when it says, Vayimsu Kastuv Batorah, they found a pasuk in Chumash that said that you have to sit in Sukkos? So one way to explain that pasuk is that Vayimtzu, even though it means they found, you know, doesn't mean they found something which they had been unaware of before. Right? Again, usually the implication of finding something, you know, is that you didn't have it before, right? A mitziyah is something that a few minutes ago, before you stumble across this thing, you didn't have. So the implication of Ayimsu Kasav is, I didn't know about this pasuk till a few minutes ago, till I read it. Okay, obviously that's problematic, because what do you mean? They didn't know about the pasuk in Chumash? So one way to read it is Vayimsu Kasav Batara. You know, they saw the pasuk in Chumash with new eyes. You know, the same way that, again, a person can be Mavir Sedra, he can go over these psukim that he knows 1,000 times, and all of a sudden something jumps out and hits him from the psukim that he never really thought about before. So, Lachara, that's one way to read this pasuk as well. Vayimsu Kasav Batara. They had always read the pasuk Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamin, and in fact they had always been keeping the mitzvah of Sukkah in an uninterrupted fashion, you know, throughout all of the years, you know, since they came into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua. But now they looked at it again and they said, you know, it's not enough just to be Mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah in an kind of way. We should do it in a deluxe way, because we are Shavim Min Hashvi, because we're coming back from the Galus to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why they made such a big deal about it. You know, not that they discovered any new information, but they had a new insight into the importance of the mitzvah of Sukkah, you know, at this particular time. Where does Lulav come in? So the Psukim, on the surface, the Nehemiah only talk about the mitzvah of Sukkah, but the Gemara already points out that among the various things which they bring to make their Sukkahs, they bring Hadassim and they bring Lulavim. Now, it's possible that they were using them for Schach, but it's also funny that the Pasuk says that they brought Hadassim twice. It says they brought Alei Hadass and Alei Eitz Avos. Right? So the Gemara says, one they brought for Schach, and one type of Hadass, you know, a certain type of Hadassim, a Hadass Shota, which are not eligible, you know, to use in the Dalet Minim. But then they brought good Hadassim with the night, it was nice Hechsherim and everything like that. They brought that, you know, to be able to use in the Dalet Minim. So the Pasuk is talking about Dalet Minim. Why doesn't it mention Aravos and Esrogim? So David Zvi Hoffman suggests that Esrogim and Aravos were so readily available that they had them already. Remember, the Pasuk says, Se'u Hahar. Go out to the mountain. You have to go and get these exotic things like Lulavim and Hadassim that we don't have readily available. Aravos and Esrogim they had already. Okay, so the Pasuk, even though it's primarily talking about Sukkot, is talking about, you know, Lulav and Esrog as well in a backhanded kind of way. But perhaps one could go even a step further and suggest the following. Perhaps there were people, and again, you can't say this about the Zakenim, the Talmid HaChachamim, because clearly they knew better, but perhaps there were people who mistakenly refrained from making Sukkot when they went to Bavel, because perhaps they saw it as such an Eretz Yisrael Dika kind of mitzvah, one that the Jews had initiated when they came into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua Ben Nun, that maybe they mistakenly thought that the mitzvah was no longer applicable when they went into Galus. Maybe. It's a suggestion. And if that's the case, Vayimsu Kasav Batara, they found the Pasuk in Chumash, they were reminded of the Pasuk in Chumash that said, oh, now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael, now we should make a Sukkah again. Again, clearly it was erroneous, if it was true, it was erroneous to not make Sukkahs or not take Dalet Minim when they were in Bavel, and clearly the Talmid HaChachamim Shebohem, you know, clearly would not have taken such a position, but perhaps there were people among the nation who did erroneously follow that, and, you know, you'll say the Talmid HaChacham should have set them on the right path. Okay, sometimes you can tell somebody something and they still won't buy it, you know. So here, the people all realized, Kol HaKol, Vayasu Kol HaKol HaShavim and HaShvi. Everybody realized the importance and the centrality of making a sukkah and having Dalet Minim because they had come back to Eretz Yisrael. Again, all of this understanding in the psukim in Nehemiah, you know, flow, I think, from this chiddush of the Torah Or, where he says, based on the psukim in Parashas Emor, that Klal Yisrael were given the tzivur, they were given the mitzvahs of sukkah and Dalet Minim in the Midbar, but they only started keeping them once they actually came into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua ben Nun. Okay, wish everyone a good night and good Yom Tov. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.